This FPL season has definitely been go, go, go. A nonstop hustle all the time. Matches, deadlines, unexpected blank and double game weeks, on top of everything the real world has had in store. Sometimes you need a moment to turn off and hit reset. That's when you reach for Coors Light. It's made to chill. For me personally, supporting Fulham during this last year has been a true roller coaster ride. Honestly, when that Adama Traore goal flew past Areola in the 92nd minute of game week 31, the only thing that saved my mental state, the only thing that calmed my nerves, was cracking open a Coors Light. There's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and that's Coors Light. The mountains on the bottles and cans even turn blue when your beer is cold. That way, you always know when it's time to chill. When you need to hit reset, just open a Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment made to chill. And listen, everyone, summer is pretty much here. It's about to get hot in New York. An ice-cold Coors Light is such a perfect way for me to beat that summertime heat. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light and the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And as always, celebrate.
Hey there. We at Blue Wire just wanted to take a second to thank you for listening to this podcast. We know everything outside is pretty scary and uncertain, but we're committed to helping you get through your day by talking about the sports and teams that you love most. If you're looking for more great podcasts to distract you, check out BlueWirePods.com. Thanks for listening. Enjoy the podcast and stay safe.
Hail cheaters, and welcome to the Always Cheating Podcast, brought to you by Bet Online. My name is Josh. I'm here with Brandon. Brandon, how are you?
Josh, before we started podcasting just now, we were kind of talking wistfully about sports, a bygone era in which we had sports. And you got me thinking of a place that I always pass by on my way back from the Black Horse. If I'm walking back home from the Black Horse, I walk by the sports bar called 505th. You know the place, right? Is it 205th?
205th.
205th. Yeah. Right. It's one of these bars that has like 1,000 TVs in there. Whatever you want to watch, it's in there. It's like, and it's a haven during NFL season because it's just all fantasy NFL people and diehard NFL fans in there, just crushed in there watching every single TV. And it's like, we can talk a lot about, oh yeah, now's a good time to catch up on classic sports clips, or man, I really do miss actually being able to sit down and watch a little bit of sports here and there. What I'm actually missing a lot of the time is just the knowledge that sports is out there happening, and the feeling of walking by that bar, not even going in, but just seeing everyone in there. It fills me with this weird nostalgia.
Yeah, there is something about like the football games being on, even like NFL games, even if you're not watching them, it's like there's a kind of like all is okay, right? Like everything is normal. Whether I want to be part of that normal or not, like there's a normal world out there, you know, that I could be part of if I wanted it, you know.
I think that's right.
Yeah, and I hear you. I mean, we're all in a month-long sports detox. I would guess that everyone listening to this podcast probably needed a month-long sports detox.
Right. Given that the football never stops as it is, you know, if it took force majeure to actually make us all take a break, fair enough.
And the news that came out today, a couple hours ago, we're recording this on Sunday evening, is there is a decent chance that the Premier League will actually do behind closed doors matches in June. This is the newest rumor. I mean, we'll see, you know, I mean, Boris Johnson just went, checked into the hospital this afternoon as well. So, things are certainly, not, anywhere close to being back to normal. So, I mean, the idea that they're going to play in May, I think we can safely, scratch that one entirely. So I don't know what that means for fantasy, if anything. You know, I think that if there is fantasy, it's going to be a lot different than anything we've ever had before. And just, you know, gird your loins, Brandon, because it's going to be wild, wet and wild.
Consider them girded. Now, in an effort to find some normalcy, We are now living in universe streaming. This is all we do now. We just stream content. Mm-hmm. Some people just stream themselves on Zoom and FaceTime calls. We want to talk about movies. This episode is dedicated not just to movies, which is what our producer Dave Wegner-Lodal wanted us to talk about. We want to get specific here, and we're going to be talking about the best sports movies. Maybe you can catch up on some of these while you're being socially isolated.
I'm sort of a sports movies junkie, although I was surprised. I thought of myself that way, although as I was reading some lists in the lead up to this podcast, I realized that there are gigantic gaps in, you know, I have watched hundreds of sports movies in my life, and I'm surprised by how many I've never seen. You know, I've never seen Bad News Bears. It's got to be really? The most famous sports movie I've never seen. I've just never seen it. I don't know how I've never seen it, but I haven't. And what's the most famous sports movie that you think you've I'm putting you on the spot here. What do you think is the most famous sports movie that you've never seen before?
Yeah, I think it's Slapshot. I've never seen it, and people say it's the best hockey movie. I mean, I do want to go on record as saying there's probably never actually been a good hockey movie or a good movie about hockey.
Yeah, I think I'm with you there.
Well, maybe if you want to, you could say Happy Gilmore is technically kind of a hockey movie until it becomes a golf movie. But
that's true; it's a hybrid.
But yeah, there. I think my biggest blind spot beyond hockey, though, has got to be golf. There are just a ton of golf movies out there, and I think of all of them, I've only seen The Legend of Bagger Vance.
Oh, Tin Cup! I actually like. I will stand for Tin Cup.
Is Tin Cup the one where Billy Bob Thornton is a airplane, like air traffic control guy?
You're thinking of Pushing Tin.
Of course.
Yeah, Tin Cup and Pushing Tin. They came out on the same time. You're thinking of Billy Bob Thornton and John Cusack did Pushing Tin. So, that actually may be our next. We may do just a whole podcast that's on Billy Bob Thornton movies. So we'll see how long this.
Or just movies with the word tin in the title.
With the word tin. So this is the topic for this week's podcast, best sports movies. We're going to, just a second here, we're going to do it by category. I know a lot of people like the top 10, but I think the category works better in this case. So we've got best football film. We want to serve the loyal football audience, our core audience.
It's a football podcast, Josh.
That's right. So we'll start off with best football films. Then we'll talk about our favorites in the non-football category. A lot of baseball movies in there. Dumb sports movies we love. Then we'll talk about documentaries. Fun documentary section.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody loves good doc chat. Then we do the Are They Actually Sports Movies section, followed by bad sports movies, Brandon. I am going to name some bad ones, okay? And we'll talk about that.
You're going to name names.
I'm going to name names. Yeah, I'm going to do that. It's going to get us in a lot of trouble. And sure. This may be the last Always Cheating podcast. We'll see. So,
it's incredible.
Yeah, it's incredible.
No one thought that it was going to be talking about bad sports movies that actually broke us during this strange time. But hey, maybe they'll make a movie about us someday.
I think this will be fun. I think I do feel like a fair warning when we get to the football film category section, there are a lot of football movies that are, if you grew up in the UK or probably even most of Europe, that you're familiar with that we're just not. So as we list some of those, I'm sure that there are some, a lot of people will be like pounding their table or shaking their head or I don't even know. Like they won't do anything. They'll just
get up and walk away.
I was trying to think of like how people will listen to this podcast during a quarantine. I guess they're just like working, right? And it's just like on their headphones as they're like filling out an Excel spreadsheet or something. But as you're listening, you'll probably notice that there are some football films that are missing. Instead of getting angry. It's not healthy anyways, Brandon. That'll take years off your life.
Yeah.
Just reach out to us on Twitter, Instagram, whatever, Facebook. Snap us on Snapchat, Brandon.
We're never on Facebook. Let's be honest, Josh. Let's be real with the people here.
But I'll see a message on there. I'm on there for my, you know, I post photos of my daughter on there. So I do see the stuff that comes through. Or email us or whatever. But if you have movie suggestions that we're not covering below that you think we should watch, let us know because Brandon, much like you, the listener, we're stuck at home right now and we need more content. So best sports movies coming up in just 1 second. Brandon, a quick Patreon update, though.
Yeah, Patreon, patreon.com/alwayscheating. It's a great place to go to thank Josh and I for what we do on the podcast every week. Of course, there's no football happening right now, so we have waived fees in April for all of our current Patreon members. And of course, it looks like May is probably going to be free too, because we don't want to charge people and there's no FPL happening. Right. But we're still up and at 'em on the Slack, talking about things, keeping up with various football news there and other things that we're doing while quarantined from
FIFA.
FIFA, yeah. If you want to get a FIFA game going, if you want to talk about Animal Crossing, even food, you want to show off that focaccia loaf that you just made, all sorts of stuff like that. And if you're new to Patreon, there's just an easy sign up fee just to get in there, and then you're on board from that moment forward. And Josh, you were talking about, you need stakes. Like you're going a little bored during this quarantine. So yeah, maybe there's something we can do for our Patreon members that involve, I don't want to say a bet of some kind, but a competition.
Something. I want to be able to win or lose something, Brandon. I miss losing almost as much as I miss winning. I can't explain it. It's just a competition, you know? So we'll talk. Yeah, let's try to come up with some kind of free game for our patrons, something we can launch later this month. Open to ideas. So if you're a patron or you want to become one, go to patreon.com/alwayscheating and you can join our Always Cheating community. All right, Brandon, let's take a break. We'll get back and talk about the best sports movies. All right, Brandon, we're back. Quick hat tip to patron. I got no idea for the suggestion, by the way, for this week's podcast. The best sports movies. We're going to kick things off with the fantasy foot. No, not the fantasy. It'd be amazing if there were enough fantasy football movies out there for there to be a category of the best of them. No, this is just the football film category. So football / soccer. I don't know if any of these films would be or American enough to be a soccer movie. But I guess Victory is the one that would fit into that category.
Yeah.
So this is all genres and types. So we're just going to group all the football ones together. So there's documentaries in here and feature films as well. I'll kick things off, Brandon. I think you have seen a lot more of these than I have. Okay. But the one that I have seen and loved is The Damned United. I love this movie. It introduced me to Brian Clough, and I am still fascinated by him 10 years later.
I think it introduced the world to Michael Sheen, who is, he's a damn fine actor, that Michael Sheen. I guess Frost vs. Nixon would have been the first thing that I actually saw Michael Sheen in, where I kind of like I clocked him as an actual actor. But yeah, Damned United, I think is great because it's a period of the English game that, you know, you and I weren't around for. Yeah. And you know, to have a visual of what the English game looked like then, with like the grimy players who all, I mean, it looked like all the actors are like 40. Maybe it's the like ridiculous wigs that they're all wearing that make them look older. But
yeah,
the whole notion of it being a much rougher and less polished game back then when Brian Clough was doing his thing.
It's got that shorter actor that I like. He's in, I think he's in some Guy Ritchie movies.
Yeah, the guy from Snatch and the Irishman. What is his name?
Yeah.
Irish. I'm Googling Irishman cast right now.
I like that guy, though, whoever he is. It's a great story because I tend to like, and this is something that I think will come up as we talk about.
Stephen Graham,
old Stevie Graham. As we talk about these football movies, I tend to like the ones that are a little more businessy, like the business. And I think even a movie like Major League kind of falls into this a little bit, where the business of football or the business of sport. You know, I think that there tends to be something about that that really is compelling to me. I'm not really sure why, because I'm not a finance person by any means, but you know, Moneyball sort of falls in this category too, like the game behind the game kind of stuff. And I feel like there's a lot of stuff in Damned United about him trying to, you know, like basically showing up at the chairman's door, trying to ask for extra money for, you know, to buy a player. And it's, you know, whatever it is in $1971, you know, it's like an extra 3,500 pounds or whatever. And just that, like, I loved all that stuff, you know, just like, especially like kind of in that because it was 50 years old, it is even more kind of sort of quaint, I guess, is maybe the word I'm looking for. You know, not quaint in a bad way, but just sort of like like a simpler time.
Yeah, they were actually talking about this, the Danve United, a little bit on Second Captains. It came up in a discussion about this new TV show called, I can't remember what it's called. It's that football TV show by the, man, I've got a few holes in my brain tonight. what's that PBS masterpiece show about the Manor House? Downton Abbey. Mm-hmm. Anyway, yeah. So the Danve United came up and there was a discussion about how difficult it is to actually show a sport being played mm-hmm. in a film or TV show about sports. Mm-hmm. And the Danve United, I think, beautifully gets around this. Like, it never actually shows football being played. You can hear the sounds. You can feel the particular emotion that you're meant to be feeling and what's going on in the game. I remember there's a particular scene where Brian Clough gets ejected from the match and he can only hear what's going on from inside the locker room. And that's where you are as the viewer. And I think it's a really smart movie in that respect. And there's one other thing that
I was going to say, that's actually really interesting though, because that makes me think about something I hadn't really thought about before, which is just the, like, pace. Like, I think that in general, if the game that you're trying to film has a lot of pace to it, I think pace is like the hardest thing to pace in, like, real athleticism, like the hardest things to really convey in a sports movie, you know? And so baseball kind of works really well because it's pretty static, you know? It's like a guy stands and a guy throws, you know, like pretty simple to replicate. Basketball, football don't tend to be great sports for movies, you know. And even boxing, I think, is kind of like baseball, where it's like two people can stand 3 feet apart, you know, and you kind of, with tricky film, you can make them look imposing, you know. I don't know, it's interesting.
One other thing that I remember from the Danve United, which it's kind of like the King of Kong, which could actually be a sports documentary. Actually, I'm gonna file that away down in our running order. But the Danve United is focused on Brian Clough just kind of owning himself in the Leeds job, and just kind of being a bit of a fool, even though he's really successful at Derby before he gets that job. But then the coda to the film is, oh yeah, by the way, Brian Clough went on to become the most successful manager in British football history.
Until Alex Ferguson, probably, or whatever. Yeah.
Right. And I just thought, like, that it's cool that the movie is very focused on, we're just talking about the Leeds situation, and anything that feeds into Clough's story at Leeds will tell you about, but anything beyond that, maybe you really don't need to know. Did you ever read the David Peace book, The Danve United?
No, I respect David Peace, but I find him to be hard to read. I have his Liverpool book. Red or Dead. And it's like 700 pages. And it's like, he does this kind of poetic repetition in there, you know? Yeah. So
it's like reading Beowulf, but set in Liverpool.
Maybe if I read it aloud, I would like it more. I don't know. But I saw him actually at a book reading. I saw him speak, at some pub in, East Village. Actually, I don't know if you were there. I think I went with our friend Trevor, and he was really cool, and I really admired him. But I just I've never really been able to get into that that book. How about you?
I had the same situation with you with Red or Dead. I actually got a copy of the Danve United signed by David Peace at this at Book Expo, this big trade conference for people who work in the book industry. And, he was a cool bald guy.
Yeah, that's so what I thought.
Much respect to David Peace.
I thought he was cool too, but yeah. All right. So let's do a couple more, because I think in general, I know, and the Maradona one is the one that stands out to me, because I know how much you absolutely love that. And so maybe we'll talk about documentaries for a second. I feel like some of the best sports movies the last 20 years have been documentaries about football. You know, not necessarily English football, but just football in general. So why don't you talk about a couple of those?
Yeah, I think that all of the football movies that I really know are documentaries. The last few that I've seen, and Maradona is the most recent one. And I watched it on HBO. I don't know if it's like globally on HBO, but it's directed by this guy named Asif Kapadia, I think his name is. And people would know his earlier documentaries, the one on Amy Winehouse and also Senna, that Formula One documentary.
Yeah, which I've never seen, but I've heard it's great. Yeah.
And what he does is all of these movies, he pieces everything together from found footage, and there is no voiceover of any kind. Rarely is there even any music that plays. It is, you're basically just watching footage that's been unearthed, and the way he edits everything together, the story just becomes totally naked to you. And the Maradona one is just exceptional. And it's kind of the opposite of what I was saying about the Damned United, about how it's great how the Damned United doesn't focus on the actual football, but the Maradona movie has this incredible footage of all of these Napoli games, and the footage is like pitch level, and you feel like you're there, and you can hear every kick of the ball. And
like that time we saw Nacho Monreal, Brandon, just feet away from us.
Exactly.
Yelling
Nacho
at everybody.
Nacho Monreal schooling poor Ryan Sessegnon there. So it's one that really takes you there and gives you just a totally different perspective on Maradona. Like Maradona is a truly sympathetic character and one that just got totally sucked into the economy and the mob of Italy. And maybe that definitely plays into the absurd character that we know of him now. And the other great documentary I recently saw, well, like in the last few years, is Next Goal Wins. And this is, I think, like the only American movie next to Victory, as you mentioned, Josh, in this list. And it follows Thomas Rongen, who is this, he's like a bit coach player in the U.S. men's system, and he found himself without a job. I think he's typically involved in the U.S. under 21 system. He found himself without a job, and he took the head coach position in American Samoa. So the kind of the driving force of it is Thomas Rongen and his wife had lost their oldest daughter in a tragic car accident. So it's part them taking this job in this far off place to kind of get away from dealing with those emotions. And also the fact that American Samoa is legendarily the worst football program in the planet. I think they lost 31-0 to Australia, like the worst ever international defeat on record. And the movie begins with American Samoa's next campaign to try and qualify for the World Cup finals. And you meet all of these wonderful, interesting characters who are part of this really small community, including this one player who is the first non-binary person to ever play in the World Cup, which is really cool. And fun fact, I just learned that Taika Waititi's next movie is actually a fictionalized or a dramatized version of this story starring Michael, what is his name? Michael Fassbender.
Oh, wow, cool.
The Thomas Rongen character.
Oh, wow, that sounds interesting. Okay, cool. Yeah.
So definitely check that one out.
You know, I was trying to think, you and I went to the Museum of the Moving Image in Queens last year to watch some football movie. I can't remember the name of it now.
It was called I'm going to have to look it up now.
Yeah.
It's a Bulgarian movie.
Yeah. That's when you know your addiction is strong. It's when you go all the way to Queens to watch a 75-minute Bulgarian documentary. But it was – well, you look that up, and I'll talk about some other ones. So Sunderland Till I Die is one that I know that you love. There's a second season that just came out. The first season was I thought it was almost hard to watch, you know. And I sort of and it's we're talking about the Tiger King last week, and I was saying that I'm having a hard time with that too, because I just documentaries can make me really uncomfortable, and it's like I can't face the truth or something. They're revealing it makes me feel too bad. And it's a Sunderland Till I Die. I mean, that season is kind of like, you know, they had just gotten relegated from the Premier League, and you know, I think they were in their first season after relegation, maybe it was their second. And you know, there are a lot of the players you recognize, you know, from their Premier League campaign, and there's sort of there's a level of optimism, you know, like we're gonna pop right back up, like many clubs do, right? West Ham, Newcastle, etc. And it does not go well at all. And but I mean, what makes it so brilliant is one, there's an incredible amount of access, And two, it's really about the fans, I feel like, you know, and you really get a sense of like the supporters in a way that you don't always get in some of these documentaries. And so I do like it, but I it's kind of a hard one for me to watch. And I don't know. I mean, do you have any thoughts on Sunderland Till I Die?
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I think the tough thing about Sunderland Till I Die is following the fans and how just heartbreaking it is, because there are these, you know, supporters who were born into the club, and for the last decade, all they've known is incompetence. And that's where that's to me the entry point of Sunderland Till I Die, is the access that they have to the executive level, and just to see the incompetence with which these clubs can be run at certain points. Mm-hmm. And you just see these really rich guys come in, and they think that their, you know, quote, love of the game will carry them through, or their, you know, they ran a really successful campaign for Tesco's, you know, 1 month. And now it's like what Anthony Bourdain says in Kitchen Confidential, like every wealthy New Yorker who gets complimented on their wine collection goes out and starts a restaurant, which, you know, ultimately closes within 6 months.
I never heard that, but that's a really great line. I bet that's actually true of people in London as well.
Oh, for sure. But in the second season of Sunderland Till I Die, I did have a certain level of sympathy for the executive staff, where they're talking about just the budget disparity. Like, they're running a club that costs $35 million, but they're actually projected to bring in $10 million. And there's just this huge gulf in terms of what they're spending versus what they're making. And it's just, the club will crater. And if some of us in our offices have been in budget meetings and you're scraping together to try and find $1,000 here or there, to try and come up with $25 million and even have a squad left to play, it's like an impossible task. So I thought that was really harrowing.
Yeah, I may still dig into the second season, but I may need to take a cold shower before I watch it or something. I need to be like fresh for it, or just have a really stiff drink. Yeah.
By the way, Infinite Football is the Bulgarian movie we were talking about.
Yeah,
there's this psycho Bulgarian guy who it starts with him talking about how he was a really gifted footballer until he got injured. And it was, you know, we've all met a person who was like, I could have been great, but I did my ACL when I was, you know, 13. And then that was
You've
it
been
for
saying
me.
This for years. Yeah. Yeah.
So the rest of the movie is this guy trying to reinvent the rules of the game. He even creates a different dimensions for the pitch. And people don't get injured. And then it morphs into this movie about him and his relationship with his father. And it's quite disturbing. But check it out.
Yeah, I've read it for free online at this point. It's been out for a year and a half or so. And I agree. You know, the one that we don't have on here that I really like, another documentary, is The Two Escobars. That was something mm-hmm. just producer Dave on Twitter brought this one up. It's a good suggestion. It's part of the 30 for 30 series of ESPN movies, which are all, there's a number of fantastic 30 for 30s out there. There's one in the Detroit Bad Boys, the late 80s Detroit Pistons that I particularly like, but there's just a ton over the years. But the Two Escobar one is really cool. It's about Pablo Escobar, and then the other Escobar's name, I can't think of his name right now, who scored an own goal and Colombia, I guess it knocked Colombia out of the World Cup, right? It was led to a Colombia drawing with the United States in the 94 World Cup. The U.S. advanced, and I believe Colombia didn't, even though they were the favorites in that group.
That's correct. I think we actually won that match against Colombia.
Did you? Yeah. I was going to say, did you win it? Like, I'm not American. Did you guys pull that one out? And then he ultimately gets killed. And it's kind of a it's a wild story. It is kind of the opposite of Infinite Football. There, it is a very serious and not kooky at all movie. Pretty grim, but really fascinating.
Yeah. Andres Escobar. Kooky is not a word I would use to describe it. Exactly.
No. So a couple that I've never seen, A Victory, the Sylvester Stallone soccer movie. Have you seen this? That is a soccer movie for sure.
No, I've never seen it either. Pele is in that too, right?
All right. Resolved, Brandon. We are going to Let's do some kind of live stream, live chat for victory. Okay.
Okay.
Maybe yep. we'll do this with our patrons or something like that. But let's what when other like what better time will we have, Brandon, to watch victory than during this one?
None. So let's absolutely
yeah.
none.
Yeah. So a couple others just quickly before we move on from this category. I don't like All or Nothing, Manchester City.
I've not seen a single minute of this, actually. I do not participate in Amazon products, so you know that's just a personal choice. So I haven't seen it.
Mm-hmm. When you frame it like that, though, there's a political. you're mm-hmm. saying something. I more or less agree with you. Before I had kids, I was also I'm not an Amazon person, but now I've it broke me. Breaks. Once you start buying diapers on there, you're done forever. So 4-year plan is a really good one too. That's a documentary about QPR.
Yeah,
right.
yep,
and
yep.
Do you remember that? And
I have seen that.
Uh-huh. It's interesting because it sort of makes you realize that these, you know, everyone who buys a club, everyone who's got some money who buys a club, they always get framed in a very positive light when they first buy the club, you know, because they always have lots of money and they're always very enthusiastic and they want the best for the club, you know. And it just goes to show that people don't really know what they're doing a lot of the mm-hmm. time. And it's sort of to watch this group sort of go up and then I guess they ultimately do get promoted and then they go right back down. And it's a really fun story. And so I recommend that one as well.
It's an interesting one to go hand in hand with Sunderland Till I Die, where it's basically you watch Sunderland Till I Die and then they get promoted. If you want a happy ending to Sunderland Till I Die, that's the 4-year plan.
Ultimately a sad ending as well, but happier. So any final thoughts, Brandon, on the football category?
Yeah, one more. It's got to be another documentary, but one more that came to mind was Once in a Lifetime. If you remember the New York Cosmos, this was the...
Ah, yes.
It was basically the U.S. broadcast system's first attempt at bringing soccer to the masses in the States. And the New York Cosmos was just this, it was all built for the purposes of bringing Pele to the United States at the end of his career. And it's a hilarious documentary because it just gets into how gaudy the 70s in the commercial US was, just and like the wide world of sports sort of telecasts and stuff, and it's really nutty, and it plays into this rivalry between Pele and Beckenbauer, who both end up playing on the Cosmos at the same time at the end of their career. And it gives you a new appreciation for players who present day go to China or MLS or Saudi Arabia just to cash in one last time before they retire.
That is Michael Davies produced as well, Brandon.
NBC Row.
From the Men in Blazers.
Men in Blazers. I don't know. Of course, from his production company, Embassy Row.
I have seen that one as well. And I really enjoyed it. I couldn't believe it. Like, as you said, like everybody played in MLS. Like every famous player from that era played not MLS.
Whatever they called it.
Yeah. American soccer. All right. So let's move on to the non-football category. Okay. And oh, by the way, I've never seen Green Street Hooligans either. So, Victory or Green Street Hooligans? I think one of those should be the always cheating soccer movie watch. Let's maybe we'll put up a poll. All right. So, favorite non-football categories. Opening note here from Eric Freeman. He says, "Baseball movies are the best sports movies, but baseball is the worst sport to actually watch."
Controversial.
It is. I agree with the first part. I don't agree with the second. I put a couple others on top. Golf for one. I mean, come on.
Yeah. You're certainly entitled to your opinion, Eric. But look at our list of great sports movies, baseball does dominate. It is striking though that Adam Sandler has never been in a baseball movie. So, you know, I think that's probably not too far down the road.
He's going to come up a lot in a few minutes here. I wouldn't need to go through all of these, but Brandon, I've got 5 baseball movies at the top, okay? And I'll list them out, and then you tell me which one is your favorite of these 5, okay? Major League, Moneyball, Bull Durham, Field of Dreams, 8 men out. I don't know why I use weird pauses there, but those are the five that I've listed as my five favorite baseball movies. Brandon, what do you think?
I mean, it's got to be Moneyball, right? I mean, first of all, who wins in a fight between Brad Pitt and Kevin Costner? Brad Pitt, you know, hands down. And I think there's just something so effortlessly cool about Moneyball. Mm-hmm. Moneyball, it doesn't talk down to you if you don't know much about baseball.
Yeah.
But it does also at the same time give you this incredible insight into the game. It does that same thing that the Damned United does, where you're like in the baseball world, but you don't have to see like a single pitch be thrown to get the stakes. And Jonah Hill in Moneyball is that's one of my favorite sports movie performances.
Yeah, I think he got an Academy Award nomination for his role in that. He's great in that. The one that is further below that is also a baseball movie that you probably, I don't know if you've seen it, but if you want to watch a fun sports movie that has very little to do with sports, Everybody Wants Some, that's with two exclamation points, Brandon, like the Van Halen song, is a Richard Linklater movie. Richard Linklater, director of Boyhood and Slackers.
Dazed and Confused. This is kind of like the unofficial sequel to Dazed and Confused.
It is, yeah. So it takes place in a college in Texas. I don't think it's UT. It's not like a big college, but it's a college where people. Have you seen it, Brennan?
I actually haven't. No, I haven't.
It's great. It's basically the whole thing takes place like the first week of college for a freshman who shows up to play for the baseball team. And it's a lot of drinking and partying and doing whatever. And it has, like, they're all part of the same college baseball team, but I don't think there's like, they never even get on a field. I don't think like it's, you know, it's, but it feels sportsy. It has like the sports vibe, you know?
Yeah,
and
right.
Highly recommend it though. If you like any Linklater movies, I guarantee you like this one. It's really fun. It's got a young Zoe Deutsch. Do you know her, Brandon? She's been in a lot.
Zoe Deutsch. Where would I know her from?
She was in Zombieland Double Tap. She is the girl who like was living in the mall or whatever. And okay. she's great
airplane movie reference right there for Zombie Double Tap.
Yeah, both of us watched that on the flight back from London. And she's also Leah Thompson's daughter, which is kind of interesting. So any Caroline in the City fans out there, Brandon, that's her daughter.
Outstanding call.
Yeah. Back to the Future, of course, Brandon. The better pick there.
So which one of these baseball movies that you've got here up at the top is your personal favorite? Like, do you have a sentimental favorite among these top five?
Well, sentimental would be Field of Dreams, because
who doesn't want to play baseball with their dead dad?
like most men, I but I think, I think Major League actually would be my pick. I just love that movie. I probably have seen it the most of any of these movies. It isn't the best movie, obviously, from this lot, but it's so good. It's so fun. And it's got great, like, Charlie Sheen, you know, top of his game. Tom Berenger, killing it. Rene Russo.
I'd never wanted to be like an older man more than like he was the guy for me in that movie.
He was awesome. I know. And how old do you think he was at that time? Like 37?
Yeah. When I think back, I'm like, well, he must have been 52 if not a day.
Just the old manager with the like walrus mustache. It's just
I'm on his IMDb profile right now. James Gammon. Let's give it up for old mustache coach guy from Major League.
Just wonderful. Oh God. Just, I could just sit here and, you know, Willie Mays, Hayes, Wesley Snipes. I mean, just so many great characters. The Dennis Haspert is in it as the he's like, it's like probably racist now. Like he's like simply like an African character or something. You know, has to like Yeah, to do a blood sacrifice. Anyway, very outside of the casual racism that is certainly in everything pre-1990. It is, as we just found out when we watched Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Yes, right.
It's a really, I think that one's just the one that I would, like, if I had to pick any movie from this list that I was just like in my like permanent library, you know, like that I was, if I was like in, you know, solitary confinement or something, I could only bring one movie with me. I would bring Major League because I could just watch it again and again and again.
Yeah. For me, if it's going to be one sports movie to rule them all, Hoosiers. It's Hoosiers for me all day. Now we're into basketball territory, but Gene Hackman and Dennis Hopper, absolute powerhouses in that movie. I remember seeing Hoosiers in the theater. I'm starting to date myself. With my parents, and I was young enough where I didn't really understand what the problem was with Dennis Hopper's character. So Dennis Hopper plays like the dad of one of the players, and he's an alcohol abuser, and he's just totally down on his luck. And I remember, does everyone feel bad for Dennis Hopper because he lives alone? It seems bad to live alone. No, it's actually because he's just like crippled by alcoholism and depression. That's why, but I mean, how well do you remember Hoosiers, and have you seen it 500 times like me?
Yeah, bits and pieces. I, for some reason, remember it being on VH1 a lot as a kid.
Movie that rocks?
Yeah, or maybe it was TNT. I don't know. I feel like it was VH1. I don't know why that weird soft rock network would pop into my head unless it was actually on there all the time as a kid. But I used to watch 20 minutes of it like once a month, it felt like, you know. It was like I never saw the whole movie, but I would catch 20 minutes of it for years, you know. So
Hoosiers does this thing where I think sports movies, it's like Rocky, like all the Rocky movies. It's like no one has ever blocked a punch in a Rocky movie. Every punch thrown lands right on somebody's face.
No one ever puts the two gloves up, you know.
Right. Every shot that is taken in Hoosiers is a swish. Like no one misses a single shot in Hoosiers, and it's incredible.
Yeah. What is Jimmy Chitwood has like, somebody did like his line at the end of it's like, you know, he's 21 of 22, 20 for 20 from the free throw line, you know, it's like 65 points.
Yeah. Now tell me, does this qualify as a sports movie in your mind? Karate Kid?
Yeah, oh, for sure. I think that is absolutely without question a sports movie. And, I mean, Brandon, granted they are the martial arts, you know, not technically they're sports. If you studied them in college, that would be like right. studying English or history. Sure. But you know, I think, I think it does. There's a competition. Any movie where someone yells, put them in a body bag is a sports movie. That would not happen in a non-sports movie.
Other things you need a training montage. You need an arch rival. You need a bracket that you have to work your way through the final third of the movie. Yeah. And if you just want in 5 minutes, this is basically like, all right, you've gone cold turkey, no more drugs or alcohol for you. If you just want something to tingle your spine within 5 minutes, just Google Karate Kid final scene. Oh, it's just like the best thing.
The crane, that's not the crane.
The crane is the crane kick.
Yeah. The crane kick. Yeah. I haven't seen it in years. And what, you know, the funny little postscript of that is that Billy Zabka ended up becoming this kind of beloved figure, you know, and after because now I believe that there's a Karate Kid TV show that came out and
Cobra
it's
Kai.
Like, yeah. And isn't it like flipped where it's like now Billy Zabka is the good guy? And
I think so.
And maybe Daniel Russo is the bad guy. I don't know. Yeah. So we gotta look into this.
Well, this is it's karma, right? Because one of the best parts of that final scene is after Danny Russo lays Billy Zabka's character out. Zabka goes up to Russo with the trophy and he hands it to him. And he's like, you're all right, Daniel. You're all right. So he came through the end of the tunnel. And that karma takes you all the way.
They're all slowly turning on that coach, you know, the whole Cobra Kai throughout that movie. They're just kids after all.
That's true.
So I think we have to talk about boxing movies, at least for a minute. You mentioned the Rocky movies before. I think they're all great. If I had to pick my favorite Rocky, I'm sure that there are better ones. But the one that stuck out to me the most as a kid was Rocky IV. Him fighting for no money on Christmas Day in Russia. It's just one of the great
to save us from the communist dominoes toppling.
Yeah, he ends the Cold War. I mean, it's incredible. Like, it's I think the third one with Clubber Lang is pretty awesome. You know, I don't like the way he talks jibe when he starts to actually beat Clubber Lang on the end of that movie. He's like, you ain't all that.
Earlier statement about movies pre-1990.
Right. Yeah. If you put that, you know, you put 2020 thoughtfulness, you know, in any of these mm-hmm. any of these movies that are all over 25 years, you're going to. It's gonna be ugly, but yeah, I think that there's yeah, it's gonna change. Yeah, exactly. But I think that the third one is really good too. Do you have a favorite Rocky of the? I guess there's like seven. There's also Creed and Creed II.
No, it's Rocky IV for me. I mean, it is Rocky IV. I think just the arc of it and the fact that it has that montage scene of Drago having all the best equipment that Russia has to offer, this great technology. Yeah. He's getting pumped yeah. full of steroids and he's on these, you know, like prototype treadmills. And then there's Rocky climbing yeah. the mountain, lifting yeah. logs up over his head. It's awesome.
Yeah, it is. And it's funny because like, I was talking about Billy Zabka earlier, but later, you know, Dolph Lundgren's kind of in that same category where that, like you find out later he's got like a PhD, you know, from Sweden yeah. or whatever, like astrophysics. And he was like, yeah, I'll play Drago. Sure. You know, he also plays He-Man Brandon, of course. That's not really a sports movie. Exactly.
Is it?
But yeah, well, I don't know. Maybe it's borderline.
Yeah. Skeletor thought he was playing a game of some kind.
Yeah, exactly. But game of life.
Back in January, I guess it was, we were down in New Orleans and I was in this bar and they had two big screens going at the same time, side by side. One was playing Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade and the other was playing Rocky IV. And I was just in heaven because that's my wheelhouse.
That's me too.
That's everyone's wheelhouse.
Right? Yeah. Other boxing movies. I know you're a big, what is it like? It's like, you were telling me this a while ago. It was like every year on like, it's like July 18th at midnight, you watch Million Dollar Baby from like midnight to 2:30. And what is the story there? Why do you do that? It's just like, that's when the movie hits you the right way.
Yeah, it's something to do with cosmology, and you know, I don't want to, you know, get too far into it, but
sure, Carl Sagan it up, yeah,
yeah. And usually, right before I hit play, I turn to my wife, and she says, "Million Dollar Maybe."
and then I wink and I hit play. Yeah, that's
so good.
I think
that's a sad movie.
It is a sad movie. It's a very sad movie. You watch that one exactly once, I think. The Fighter I like a lot. I've only seen that once, but I would watch that again with Mark Wahlberg and what's his name?
Christian Bale. Mm-hmm. I always remember Christian Bale is in The Fighter, but I can never remember who the actual main character is. And it's, of course, Mark Wahlberg.
Mm-hmm. Amy Adams is in that too. And
Yeah.
It's a simple movie, I would say. You know, it's not... it's like the fact that we had to like just think about everyone's names for a second, you know, it's not quite mm-hmm. iconic, but it's just good, you know? And Ford versus Ferrari is another one where I just saw it a couple months ago at Outsource Christian Bale. And I don't know if it's hard to rank a movie you just saw like a month ago, but I thought it was for a really, really good sports. Have you seen it yet? I don't know if you
have. Yeah, I have seen it.
Yeah. I thought it was terrific. Yeah. I just really thought it was. It's kind of a dad movie, you know, granted, but I just thought it was really fun. And I thought the actual racing scenes were great.
And it begat the greatest ever always cheating metaphor where you likened people's, final stretch of the season to trying to, you have to be willing to let your car explode, much like the Ford car could explode if you wanted to actually beat the Italians.
I was too modest to bring it up, Brandon, so I'm glad that you did. just quickly here, we can't go through all of these, but you've got a couple. White Men Can't Jump you've got listed here.
Yeah, another great basketball movie. And, man, they go through life as much as they go through basketball in White Men Can't Jump. But I do think White Men Can't Jump was the first rated R movie I have ever seen. So it lives long in my memory just for that fact.
Yeah.
Also, Color of Money. I just think, which is about billiards, about pool. Tom Cruise and Paul Newman. Just a
sequel to The Hustler. Yep.
Just a fantastic, fantastic movie. And the one that I'll just shoehorn in here that's kind of boxing adjacent is the movie Warrior, starring Tom Hardy and Joel Edgerton.
I've never seen that.
They do mixed martial arts.
Yeah.
It's great. It's another movie like Hoosiers that involves, like, how do we save our alcoholic parents from imminent death?
Yeah.
But beyond that, it's just super cool. And I'm not really into mixed martial arts, but the drama of it is class. It's great.
Yeah, that one's long been on my list, and so maybe I'll see if that's still on Netflix. Maybe I'll check that out this week. Brandon, one final shout out. It's TV and not a movie, but Friday Night Lights, the TV show, is an absolute classic. There is a movie. The movie I don't really enjoy as much as the TV show. The TV show is kind of perfect, especially that, except for that one scene where the high school guy kills the other guy and they cover it up and he gets away with it. That weird subplot aside, it is a very good TV show. You feel the same, right? You've seen.
Oh, absolutely. 100% cosign. Yeah. Like I have never, if you said to me years ago, Brandon, one day you'll be sat on your couch watching a slow motion football spiral, and you'll just be bawling your eyes out. I wouldn't believe you, but I don't think I've ever cried so much watching a TV show.
The explosions in the sky music helps a lot there as well. So, all right. On that note, on the note of Brandon crying, let's take a quick break and we'll get back and hopefully you can pull yourself together, Brandon. We can get through the final section here and we'll talk about, we got a lot of categories left to go. Let's take a quick break.
Hey guys, with currently no Premier League, no NBA, no NHL, no Major League Baseball happening, you might think there's nothing to bet on. Well, you'd be wrong. Our exclusive partner, BetOnline, still has hundreds of sports, events, and games to wager on. Or let them bring Vegas to you with their online casino and blackjack, all open 24 hours a day and all online, including their $750,000 poker series. Josh, you were saying earlier you want stakes. Well, those are stakes.
Those are some stakes.
If you're into props and entertainment betting as well, you can still bet on Survivor, Big Brother, American Idol, stock prices, even the weather. Visit their website and join today to receive a 100% welcome bonus on your first deposit. You basically double your money when you sign up at betonline.ag, but you can only do so by using our promo code BLUEWIRE. That's BLUEWIRE, all one word, to get your 100% welcome bonus. Go to betonline.ag, your online wagering experts.
All right, Brandon, we're back with part two. Okay, we've got these are a little shorter, these categories here. So let's start off with documentaries. We talked a lot about football documentaries already, but what are some non-football documentaries that come to mind when you think of your favorite sports docs?
Well, Hoop Dreams is like the gold standard in sports movies, full stop, if not just sports documentaries. Are you a hoop dreamer?
I am. Yeah. I also love the Mr. Show parody of Hoop Dreams. You remember, yes, you remember that?
Yeah. Where they play recruiters and they're recruiting like newborn babies to.
One college I think is called Duchesne and one is called Indiana Basin Silt, which is.
That should be on this list right there. But Hoop Dreams it's just a phenomenal movie, less because of the basketball and more just like its look at like socioeconomic stuff, which is rarely seen at that level. But it's also just a good reminder, like sports movies are so aspirational and basically they show you people at the peak of their powers. You know, the Rocky saves us from communism and Daniel Russo wins the karate tournament. Hoop Dreams basically comes out and says, yeah, well, that's one in a million. Pretty much everyone else like falls on their face and their dreams do not come to fruition. And it's all bad news.
It is kind of all bad news. It reminds me a little bit of one that I don't have in this list here, but I was thinking about as you were talking, which is Minding the Gap, which is a movie about skateboarders that came out a couple of years ago. And it's really fascinating. It's a little bit like the 7-Up series or something where it sort of follows this group of high school skateboarders throughout like a whole, like a several years of their life, something like a decade maybe. And it's, you know, but they're always sort of united by this skateboarding. And I don't know, things don't really go super well. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I watched that on your recommendation on the plane on a recent UK trip. And yeah, I was totally riveted by it. Highly recommended.
Yeah. It's like, you learn a lot about how people live, but it's also pretty kind of a bummer at times. So
speaking of the one in the million, I see the next movie on your list here, documentaries, Josh, is Free Solo, which Free Solo kind of goes out of its way to say, yeah, most people who free climb, they fall to their death. But this is the Free Solo that worked.
It's true. It is like you kind of don't know what's going to happen in Free Solo. Like it's sort of, I guess we shouldn't give it away if people haven't seen it, but it's really good. And it's kind of like the whole, you think it's going to be about like just free climbing, you know, whatever they, what is that, what free climbing is there a word for it? I can't remember.
I think so. I think you've got it right.
And it turns out like it kind of becomes a movie about whether this guy is actually kind of insane, you know? And I thought,
he's insane.
Yeah. His sanity is really what the movie ends up being about. And you can watch it for free. It's in America. You watch it on Disney Plus. I don't know if that's true across the globe, but it's part of the Nat Geo channel on there. And definitely worth watching. It's also beautiful. I mean, it's, you know, it's all like most of it's in, you know, the American West, and it's just these, you know, beautiful, the scenery is amazing. And watching the El Capitan, the mountain that he climbs, is just you know, it's stunning to watch. Really, I think they used helicopters and all kinds of handheld cameras and stuff.
You know what movie it reminds me of is actually Whiplash. So Whiplash is about a jazz drummer, and it's kind of a, like, if you want to be at the top of your game, you have to sacrifice everything else, which includes your emotional ties to your family and your loved ones and basically the rest of humanity. And the guy in Free Solo, I think, is following the Whiplash model, where he's like, I have to have every cell in my body focused on this one thing in order for me to survive. And you can see how it really clashes with his relationship with the rest of the world.
Yeah. I mean, it's, and like, he's got this girlfriend who seems very well adjusted and normal. And like, she sort of, you watch her over the film, be like, wait, am I like, is he going to die? You know, it's like, it's really wild. It's it's very, really good movie. All right. And then I talked about this actually, I think, in last week's podcast. I won't go into it again, but the Ken Burns baseball documentary is an absolute classic. It's super long. It's like 20 hours long, and it's really wonderful. Especially it's like, you know, drinking a glass of warm milk or something. You're very soothed watching this documentary, reading and, you know, hearing about Honus Wagner and Mordecai Three Finger Brown and Pie Trainer and all these 120-year-old players.
Does he only have three fingers?
Mordecai? He does. Yeah, he lost them in an accident. Yeah, so that's a real...
I love the... That's such an old-timey thing. It's just a nondescript, quote, accident.
I can't remember what a farming accident or something. Who knows?
Oh, they're all farming accidents, right?
Just, we talked about it earlier, but the ESPN 30 for 30s are fantastic. And if you have ESPN Plus in the U.S., you can watch... there's going to be like 50-100 of them now. I know there's a boatload. Yeah.
There's a
ton of great ones there. All right. Next category is dumb sports movies that we love. I actually had Major League in this category, and I promoted it to the favorite
sports films.
Congrats,
Major League.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So dumb sports movies that we love. I think that this is a category. It's really an SNL dominated category, Brian. Saturday Night Live dominated a lot of SNL folks. So Happy Gilmore to me is probably the ultimate dumb sports movie that I mean, how often do you and I and our friend Trevor bring this up around each other? I mean, is it every time we hang out? Every three times? It feels like it comes up a lot.
I'm just laughing now thinking of it. Carl Weathers' character Chubbs may be the greatest invention in the history of cinema, with his wooden hand and his plaid pants and his
fear of alligators.
Like, I can hear, you just always hear him in my voice being like, it's all in the hips. It's all in the hips.
Tap, tap, tappy.
Tap it in. Mm-hmm. It's Happy Gilmore is phenomenal. I think I slagged off golfing movies earlier and hockey movies. And Happy mm-hmm. Gilmore combines both of them.
Yeah.
There's like the opening scene where he like tries to stab somebody with his hockey skate, which is just phenomenal.
Oh,
what the whole, I think to do that.
The whole movie is completely unhinged, but it's really in a very good way. I mean, if you like Billy Madison, which I don't even know, like we're probably like Adam Sandler is still a huge star, right? So I guess people probably still watch these movies. But growing up, Billy Madison and Happy Gilmore were like the two pillars of like American boys, you know, in the '90s. It was
Then Austin Powers came along and kind of gave us another path to follow, and we did that for a while.
The other
there is,
I was going to say, talking of like golf movies or dumb golf movies, Caddyshack is like a movie that my dad quoted it so much as a kid that I honestly avoided it for a long time. I'm not sure I actually watched that movie start to finish until I was in my 20s. And it is secretly really funny. I think that is an actually genuinely funny movie. I mean, maybe it's a borderline sports movie, but it does all take place on a golf course. But Rodney Dangerfield in Caddyshack is so funny. Oh my God. He's so funny in that movie.
Yeah. It like Rodney Dangerfield's shtick is it feels dated on its face. But I totally agree. To see him operating within Caddyshack, you're just like, wow, this guy is owning this movie.
It like sets in place the whole kind of like rubes versus snobs. That was a big thing in 80s movies in general, you know, sports or otherwise. And this came out like in 79 or 80 or something like that. And he is the ultimate rube, you know, like the new money rube.
The tagline of the movie is like you wouldn't join a club that would have you as a member or something like that. I don't quite remember.
I guess Groucho Marx, the quote.
But Rodney Dangerfield has the greatest line at the end of it, you know, when they you know, spoiler alert, the rubes win. And he throws his golf club up and he just yells, "Hey, we're all going to get laid."
It is so dumb. Oh God. I want to watch it right now. I watch like think about all these movies. I'm just like, especially all these dumb ones. I'm just like, this is what I want to do right now. Is just watch dumb sports movies that don't make any sense. Do you think that is Kingpin? Where does Kingpin live for you in terms of dumb sports movies?
It lives right here in this space where we are right now. Kingpin is a bowling movie starring Bill Murray and Woody Harrelson. Harrelson appearing, you know, White Men Can't Jump. Woody Harrelson's not in Semi-Pro, is he?
Yes, he is. Yes,
oh,
he
my
is.
God. Yeah. Woody Harrelson, he's giving Adam Sandler a run for his money here.
Kevin Costner, too. Yeah, it's true. Underrated.
But Kingpin is just absolutely silly. And
Randy Quaid, right?
Randy Quaid plays the Amish guy who's really good at bowling. I mean, I can't even explain what this movie
is. Vanessa Angel, Brandon. It's got everybody from the Weird Science TV show. Yeah,
but it all comes down to the final face-off between Woody Harrelson and Bill Murray at the end at the bowling championship. And I go watch it. I can't even describe it. Just go watch it.
I mean, here's my like tease. If you've never seen this, I mean, Bill Murray is one of the funniest people on the planet. Has been for 40 years. Almost everybody feels this way. That scene during the bowling face-off might be the funniest he's ever been in any movie ever. I mean, it is so funny. So even if you just go to YouTube and just watch that scene, I highly recommend it. It's a very funny movie.
Let's see. Any other movies here? We have a comment from Jeff Wajshma who wants to know, does arm wrestling count? Over the Top was oddly compelling. So, Over the Top, arm wrestling movie with Sylvester Stallone where he plays a truck-driving arm wrestler
win a custody battle at the same time.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I remember this movie is basically he has, in order to get his son, he has to win an arm wrestling tournament. Like the stakes were very high.
Yeah. You know, funny coincidence. I'm doing a Community rewatch. The Community TV show is now on now on Netflix. And there was an over the top reference in an episode that I saw last night. So anybody who knows over the top, there's this thing that right when Sylvester Stallone was about to win any of his matches, he would do this thing where he would kind of curl his fingers, you know, and that was when spiral them, I guess. And that was when you knew he was about to go over the top and win the arm wrestling match. Yeah. There's a bracket, Brandon. So I think that does count as a any movie with a bracket, yeah. I think, is a sports movie.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, this is totally teed up for me. But were they knowing when they called this movie over the top? Because, like, it's quite now, sensational.
As far as I can tell, irony was invented, like, circa 1991 or something. Yeah.
Right.
Doesn't seem to exist before then. All right, let's move on to the next category, which is, are they actually sports movies? Okay, and we've got some real classics in here, Brandon. Raging Bull, sports. I mean, actually, let me just name these four movies, and then you can tell me yes or no. Okay.
Okay.
Raging Bull, sports movie,
yes.
Or not a sports movie?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
The Big Lebowski.
No.
The Wrestler.
Yes.
Rounders.
I think this is on the bubble, but I'm going to go yes for Rounders. I think that, like, but is it, if I say Rounders is actually a sports movie, am I also saying that Maverick starring Mel Gibson is a sports movie?
Maverick is a sports movie, and it is a very good sports movie. God, we should watch that for our movie nights, bro. That's a classic.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Jodie Foster, James Garner.
Yeah.
Great cast.
I mean, it's the type of, this is a type of category that makes you realize, like, how sports is so interwoven with everything that we do as a species. Like, basically, yeah, every movie is a sports movie apart from, there must be a soccer scene in Gandhi at some point.
Probably. I don't know. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
Where do you feel, yeah, on all of these? The Big Lebowski is the one that I said definitely wasn't a sports movie. Do you, Big Lebowski, bowling is a huge thing here?
I wasn't even thinking of that as a sports movie until I read some list where it was listed there. I mean, there is a lot of bullying in it. I guess in my head, I think of bullying and in Kingpin, I guess we talked about that, which is also a bullying movie. But bullying is
a great bowling movie.
Yeah. The Big Lebowski is probably my favorite movie just in general. So yeah. I think, mm-hmm, yeah. And I know we're kind of simpatico on that one. So, I mean, it's it's like the greatest Shaggy Dog movie ever. Does that also make it the greatest sports movie? Sure. Like, let's
why not? We make everything. The rules.
Raging Bull, I actually think is, I mean, there is a lot of boxing in that. So I guess that has to, The Wrestler is, I guess, yeah, I think these are all sports movies. I guess maybe Rounders is the one that feels the least sports to me, just because it's, you know, it's kind of like the Big Lebowski where it's like, is poker, it's not really like a, I mean, in Kingpin, there's at least like a championship match, you know, like, uh-huh, the sport is, the competition is part of the movie. Whereas in Rounders, it's like the stakes are like a little too high, you know, it's like he's, I don't know. but it's a good movie.
It's a great, like, yeah, it's, yeah, a great movie. I think, like, that's a whole other category of, like, gambling movies and casino movies, yeah, where you've got, like, Mississippi Grind is a movie that we've talked about. And mm-hmm, I was just going to say Casino, great sports movie. But yeah, I mean, like Martin Scorsese, a secret sports movie guy with The Color of Money and Raging Bull.
Yeah,
you know, Gangs of New York is basically like a proto the Longest Yard.
Yeah, that's yeah, you're right. He I don't know. That's a good question. Has he done any baseball movies? He's like one of those guys. He's like produced like 100 additional movies, as you know, in addition to the ones that he's directed. So
yeah,
he's such a New York guy. And so I think so. I don't think we need to talk about these four movies. They're all kind of classics. The Wrestler is the one that people don't talk about that much, but kind of another movie, a little bit like Million Dollar Baby, where I feel like you only need to watch it once.
Mm-hmm,
yeah. He basically like jumps off the turnbuckle at the end and you're like, oh, he's going to die when he lands. You know, it's like the end of the movie is like, he's about to die when he like falls, you know? So
it's not a great feeling.
A weird one. Yeah. Not a great feeling. All right, let's end this on a higher note, Brandon, sort of. Bad sports movies. This is my personal opinion, okay? Some of these movies are popular movies. Like, they're popular in that way that, like, you and I love Kingpin and Happy Gilmore. I don't like Talladega Nights, and I don't like The Waterboy. Those are two movies that a lot of people seem to like that are bad. Like, they're kind of so bad they're good. I just think they're so bad they're bad. I don't enjoy watching either one of those.
Well, okay, so let's compare The Waterboy to Happy Gilmore. Kind of a similar formula in that Adam Sandler plays a crazy person. Mm-hmm. But there is something about The Waterboy where Adam Sandler's character is either a little too weird or a little too angry. And like the circumstances for him are just a little too dire.
Yeah, full. What is that? Yeah, I was trying to think of that. The thing that you're not supposed to do in
Tropic Thunder.
Thunder. Yeah, he goes a little too far, you know. It's I agree.
Though you do have to give The Waterboy a bonus point for, you know, like he is Morgan Schneiderlin in the midfield. He gets a bonus point for generating a great GIF that I enjoy, the Rob Schneider "You Can Do It" GIF.
I saw it once, and that was I see that Rob Schneider GIF too. I think Bobby Boucher is a great name for a character. I still remember that name 20 years later. But I don't really care for it. And Talladega Nights is I just think it's kind of like it's too tawdry or something for me. Like, I don't know. Like, it's like I just don't like it. You know, it feels kind of insulting to people who. Although it's like a popular movie in this, I don't know. So like, but for me, I'm just like, it feels like it's like a little too like it's like a, what's the word? It's like shooting fish in a barrel or something with that one.
It's punching down, sort
punching
of thing.
Down. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. There's one good NASCAR movie. It's that Steven Soderbergh movie that's like a caper. I can't remember what it's called.
That's a fun movie. What about Days of Thunder, Brandon?
Days of Thunder.
Yeah, Cole Triple.
That deserves to be mentioned. If Rob Schneider gets a mention in this podcast, you better believe Days of Thunder is getting a mention here.
It's fair. All right. Yeah.
My entry into sports movies that are actually bad would be Necessary Roughness. Like, we've dipped a lot into 80s culture talking about these movies, and Necessary Roughness like embodies a lot of this, where it was just like it was absolute madness back then. And people filled all these caricature roles, even down to who are we going to get to kick for our football team? Well, let's get Kathy Ireland, the hot supermodel who actually plays on the soccer team, the field next door. And Scott Bakula, apparently he was redshirted at some point, right, Josh? Because they get him as like a 40-year-old guy.
Yeah, it's a 40-year red shirt. Yeah, exactly. I don't know what he was doing before then. Minor league baseball or something, maybe. I can't remember. Oh, Jason Bateman is in this. I'm looking at the IMDb page as we go here. I have not seen Necessary Roughness since I saw it at my grandma's house when I was 10 years old. Which I remember very well because I loved it when I saw it when I was 10. I'm sure you're right that it does not hold up. But I'm never going to rewatch it, Brandon. So I can always keep that glorious moment, Blue 42. I know it did bring us Blue 42, Brandon, as a cultural touchstone. So we'll always have that at least.
I'll just throw one more at you, Josh. Did you ever see the movie? This is another football, like American football movie, The Replacements, starring Keanu Reeves and I think Jon Favreau is in it. It's like,
yeah.
The setup of the movie is there is a strike in the NFL. So all the actual NFL players aren't playing. They're not going to cross the picket line.
Right.
So the teams bring in replacements who are all amateurs. And of course they have to prove everybody wrong and show them that they can actually do it. And I remember that being a pretty bad movie. So bad. It was one of those movies where I actually went with a friend and there was no one else that wanted to see this movie. So we left like three seats between the two of us in the movie theater.
What a great feeling that used to be. Like, I don't know if this is true, like in all small towns, but yeah, it was the same way as a kid. there were just like a lot of second run movie theaters, you know, where you could just walk in. And I remember seeing Romeo plus Juliet in one of these theaters with my friends as a kid. And we were the only four people in the entire theater. And so we would just like get up and walk around in the middle of the movie. And oh, God, it was.
It boggles the mind. Anymore. You think they would just tell you to just leave and say, get your money back. Like we can't even pay to turn these lights on or off, as it were.
I'm trying to think if there's any other bad movies. I mean, there's a lot of movies that I think NFL movies in general, you brought up The Replacements. I don't really like any football movies. I think that football, much like basketball, it's that pace thing where it's just hard to get the pace right. And it doesn't feel real, you know. It doesn't, like, I don't know, it's like you really maybe I just don't really like football culture either, you know. There's something kind of inherently sort of like, you know, the coach is God, you know, and you have to like, you know, and just like that, I'm just like not really just personally a fan of.
Speaking of, what about Any Given Sunday, in which Al Pacino is that godlike coach figure?
I've never even seen that whole movie. I'm not really an Oliver Stone person though, so I don't know. That's Do you like that movie?
I haven't never seen it either. So that's why I was asking you.
I'm surprised I haven't seen it, but I actually haven't. So, yeah, it's a weird thing. I mean, like, anybody who goes and looks at one of these, like, lists of the top 100, if you're being honest with yourself, like, you'd be surprised how many gaps there are. You're like, wow, I haven't seen, like, 20. Like, that Senna. I've heard Senna's been great. Many people have brought this one up, and I just yeah, Formula One, weirdly, is, like, a really good category for films. There's a... There's one, another Formula One movie with, what's his name? The guy who plays Thor. That's really good as
Rush.
Well. Rush. Yeah. Yeah. So Rush is a pretty fun movie too. So does not belong in the bad sports movies, but, just cause we're trying to wrap this thing up here. I'll throw that one in there. And on that note, Brandon, I think we can conclude our sports discussion. This was a pretty good, we talked about a lot of movies here, Brandon. I'm curious what we didn't talk about. We didn't talk about The Natural. There's a few that, you know, there's a few big ones that I'm sure people will.
Sandlot.
The Sandlot. Oh, that's a classic. I mean, come on. That's where I learned. I fell in love with Babe Ruth because of The Sandlot, Brandon. I was like just the right age for that movie.
Yeah. You learned how to make s'mores because of that movie.
Yeah. King of Swing. Salt in the Swat. By the way, I was reading, I've been reading this Bill James baseball book recently. This is like Baseball Almanac. And obviously I knew that Babe Ruth was called the Sultan of SWAT. But did you know that Lou Gehrig was called the Crown Prince of SWAT?
Is that better or worse than being the Sultan?
I think it's worse, but I love that the Sultan Crown Prince of SWAT. What a cool... What a fun thing. I don't know. I thought that was so neat. I'd never heard Lou Gehrig described as the Crown Prince of SWAT before. And I just thought that was
nor
great.
Nor I.
Yeah. So
you only remember the bad times with Lou Gehrig these days.
Yeah, that's true. all right. On that note, thank you for listening. You can visit patreon.com/alwayscheating to support the podcast, to talk to us. We will talk about some kind of Always Cheating movie watch on there. We'll have to pick just the right time, obviously, because we want people from across the pond to be able to listen with us as well. But I think Victory or Green Street Hooligans, either one of those, I'd be interested in. You know, Green Street Hooligan has Elijah Wood. Brandon. Yeah, your boy. So
I love him. I love The Hobbit.
So if you want to...
Or Lord of the Rings or whatever the hell that is.
Yeah, so it's a free month of Patreon supporters. Next month is almost definitely going to be a free month as well. So if you want to become a supporter and say thanks, go to patreon.com/alwayscheating. And we have a number of producers that we'd like to thank. And a reminder to our producers, if you're still listening this far into the podcast, producers can pick a topic for an Always Cheating podcast. So if you have something you want us to cover, this is kind of the perfect time to suggest something. So reach out to us and let us know, and we will most likely cover it on our podcast.
Your support now more than ever means a lot to us. A big thanks to our producers, Trevor Ingerson, Mike DiPietro, Chris Howell, Andy Penn, Chris Carter, Martin Savage, Brian T, DeBig Gaffer, Bobas Kuhn, Jeff Husby, Ben Grant, James Holland, Jazz Binning, Dave Wagner-Lodahl, Nick Wright, Jim Payne, Brian Chin, Blair Jacobson, Frederick Kian-Gransky, Travis West, Alan Creasy, Victor Forberg-Skogane, Paul Herzig, Kaya Christine Lalang, Stian Niehaus, Barry McGuire, Peter Bodektel, Andy Portlock, Toothless Gibbon, Andy Martin, Lindsay Rostel, Anton Markov, FPLmerch.com, James Conroy. Special note, Josh, we opened the podcast mentioning the Black Horse. What I do when I leave the Black Horse. For those of you wondering what's going on with our favorite headquarters for watching Premier League football, I did send a text to our friend over there, Josh, just to ask if there's anything we can do to support them and their staff during this crazy time. And they are still trying to figure out what's going on. They're surviving so far as we know, but we'll keep you posted under the trials and tribulations of the Black Horse. We're definitely keeping tabs on how they're doing during this That's wild great. Time.
Yeah. If they do some kind of fundraiser or something, we'll definitely share that out with people. I don't know that most people listening are don't live in New York, but for anybody who does, if it has been a Saturday fixture in your life, then let's make sure it actually stays open. I think that it's what I luckily, you know, both of us are both lucky enough to still have our jobs during this time. And so I tend to spend a lot of my energy worrying less about me and whether all the small businesses that I love in New York will actually, you know, reopen in a month or two or three or whatever. So,
the thing. Like we all want our lives to go back to normalcy. And what that would entail is all of these great businesses in our community to still be open when we get to that point. So keep tabs on the businesses in your neighborhood and don't be shy about reaching out and asking if there's anything you can do. Keep in touch with us. Always cheating. Rate and review our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, Acast, wherever podcasts are found. Follow us on Twitter at Hell Cheaters, Instagram at Hell Cheaters, Facebook.com/always cheating. Send us an email. We've got nothing but time right now. So if you've got a long litany of gripes, questions, criticism, positive things, we'd love to hear from you. hellcheaters@gmail.com. All this and more is at our website, alwayscheating.com.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you again next week.
Poku forever.
Mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.